友们，大家好，今天是3月28号，星期六，欢迎收看《美国观察》。美国总统特朗普与中国国家主席习近平星期四晚间通了电话，商讨如何应对新冠疫情，并说美中双方要紧密合作。我们来看美国之音白宫记者黄耀毅的报道。
美国在3月26号星期四首度超越中国，成为世界上新型冠状病毒确诊人数最多国家。截至3月27号星期五的中午为止呢，美国境内已经有超过9万起的确诊人数，那么呢，死亡人数则是超过了1300人。那么特朗普总统在星期四的上午参加了这个 G20 工业国的视讯会议之后，他就在晚上打电话给这个中国国家主席习近平，两个人进行了关于新型冠状病毒的电话讨论。那么之后特朗普总统呢就在推特上发文，在推特上当中呢，他停止使用中国病毒这个词，而是回到使用冠状病毒。在推文当中，特朗普总统说，刚刚结束与中国国家主席习近平的愉快谈话，我们详细讨论了正在肆虐全球的新冠病毒，中国已经经历了许多，并且对这个病毒有深刻了解，我们正在紧密合作，高度的敬意。此外呢，白宫也在星期五的上午针对这一次的特席通话发出了声明，声明当中说，特朗普总统昨晚与中国国家主席习近平通了电话，两位领导人在当天稍早都参加了20工业国的视讯会议，在会上都重申了合作保护生命与生计的承诺，两位领导人同意合作挫败新冠病毒疫情，并且恢复全球的健康以及繁荣。那么根据中国外交部发表的这个通话记录则是显示说呢，他说中国国家主席习近平强调，新冠肺炎疫情发生以来，中国方面是本着公开透明负责任的态度，及时向世界卫生组织以及包括美国在内的所有国家通报疫情的消息，包括在第一时间发布病毒基因序列等等的信息。那我们知道，在这个新冠疫情刚刚开始的时候，其实在美国的很多的记者就询问特朗普总统说，中方是否有及时提供讯息。那么呢，在1月份跟2月份的时候，特朗普总统还是表示说，中国方面有向美国提供讯息，并且还甚至称赞中国在打击疫情上的努力做得很出色，并且还说中国的资讯很透明。不过呢，我们看到在3月中之后，美国本身本土的这个病例越来越增加之后呢，特朗普总统在白宫的新闻简报会上也曾经说过，他说其实他是希望在当初中国能够尽快的把疫情给通报给美国。那么呢，就在跟习近平通话之前呢，其实特朗普总统在星期四的时候呢签署了4项的法案，那么其中的一项法案呢就是台北法案。那这个法案呢是全称是2019年台湾盟邦国际保障与强化倡议法。那么这个法呢在美国国会当中是获得了民主共和两党跨党派的支持。那根据这项法案规定呢，这个法案生效的一年之内以及法案公布之后的前5年，美国国务院必须要向国会报告美国政府在强化台湾以及印太区域伙伴的外交关系上采取了哪些步骤。那么对于那些损害台湾安全以及繁荣的国家，美国将会改变与其交往的方式。此外呢，法案还敦促美国贸易代表办公室USTR 应该要向国会协商，来寻求机会进一步增强美台双边经贸的关系。那么在国际参与的部分呢，美国将会在适当的情况之下支持台湾成为所有不以主权国家为参与资格的国际组织会员，并且呢在其他的适当组织当中取得观察员的身份。那我们也知道，在这次的新型冠状病毒的疫情爆发以来呢，台湾一直努力争取希望能够获得世界卫生组织在跟他们取得更一进步的联系。那么台湾呢当时也说了，连美国的国务院发言人奥特加斯也曾经在推特上指出说呢，12月31号其实正是台湾通报世界卫生组织的这个关于新冠病情的日子，所以呢也点出了美国方面对于台湾在这个国际组织上以及对抗疫情上面所做努力，美国方面也已经获得了重视。以上的是美国之音白宫记者黄耀毅在白宫前面的报道。
美国国防部官员警告说，这次的疫情可能长达90天，一直延续到7月。来看报道。
从在食品援助机构包装不易腐败的食物，到在检测点测试和筛选病患， 成千上万的国民警卫队正在尽力帮助危机中的国家，而更多的援助已经在路上了。
Governors and adjutant generals are telling me that they're planning on bringing more in the near term in the hundreds and thousands.
海军医疗船仁慈号正在驶往洛杉矶，船上的医护人员为接收病人做好了准备。随着新冠病毒患者持续增加，这艘船将从洛杉矶的医院接纳多达1000名非新冠病毒患者，让当地有足够的病床和医护人员对抗疫情。军方很快派遣仁慈号的姐妹船安慰号以及另外两个陆军医院单位前往纽约，那里是美国疫情最严重的地区之一。
Right now, what we're looking at is about 140,000 cases coming into the hospitals. The hospital capacity is 53,000 beds. That's a problem.
美国陆军正在把空荡荡的纽约热点街区的酒店房间善加利用，其中一些改造成为临时的医院病房。陆军还将派遣一个医院单位前往华盛顿州遭到严重打击的西雅图。卫生组织警告说，美国在逐渐成为2019冠状病毒病的下一个爆发重点。与此同时，国防部长艾斯珀正在为一场长期战斗做准备。
I think we need to plan for this to be a few months long at least, and we're taking all precautionary measures to do that, to be in it for the long haul.
不过，军方在为这一场可能延续到7月的新冠病毒战斗做准备之际，他们的统帅美国总统特朗普本星期说，他希望美国在复活节之前开放，也就是距离当前不到3个星期。美国之音记者巴布华盛顿报道。
专家预测，路易斯安那州的新奥尔良市可能成为下一个疫情爆发的中心。来看报道。
路易斯安那州州长约翰·贝尔·爱德华兹星期三表示，如果预测正确的话，新奥尔良的医院一周之后将面临艰难的病患安置问题。
When we're pushing out the date in Region 1 down around New Orleans, where we think we might exceed our capacity to deliver health care to COVID-19 patients, it would be in the April 4th or 5th timeframe.
新奥尔良是路易斯安那州最大的城市，该州已成为美国新冠病例第三高的州，仅次于纽约和华盛顿州。但是新奥尔良目前的感染增长率是世界上最高的，许多人想知道它为什么在这里如此迅速的传播。
We are in the midst of this.
直到一月份都在担任路易斯安那州卫生局长的瑞贝卡·吉伊博士说，那是因为狂欢节。
What we need to focus on now is the fact that we are several weeks post Mardi Gras and we are starting to see that spike. And what the governor has indicated is that we are on a path to look like Italy. And we need to prepare for that. Certainly the measures that we put in are very stringent. The governor and the mayor have been very clear about stay home to save lives. That being said, we're not going to see the impacts of those measures for a week to 2 weeks because that's how long the virus takes to create symptoms.
迄今为止，路易斯安那州确诊病例中约有70%都在新奥尔良。吉伊博士现在是路易斯安那州立大学医疗服务部门的负责人。他指出，狂欢节适逢2月25日，当时新冠病毒已经在美国传播，但那是在美国疾控中心和国家首脑向公众发出警报之前。据美国贝勒国家热带医学院院长说，新奥尔良很可能成为南部多米诺骨牌中的头一枚，将引发该地区其他都市区出现连锁反应。对于南部的休斯顿来说，这也是一个严重的问题。休斯顿是美国第四大城市，也是石油工业的主要中心。在飓风卡特丽娜和哈维之后，新奥尔良居民涌入休斯顿，使休斯顿和新奥尔良这两个有千丝万缕历史关联的城市增加了更多新的联系。美国之音电视新闻报道。
尽管中国各地陆续复工，新冠肺炎的疫情仍在发展。这场疫情对您的家人、生活和工作计划带来什么样的冲击和影响？您所在的社区和城市目前疫情如何？欢迎您通过电邮将您录制的音频、视频或文字图片跟我们分享。我们的电邮是 mystory@voanews.com， mystory@voanews.com。也欢迎您留下您的联系方式，我们的记者会尽快与您联系。
析师们普遍预测，受到新冠病毒疫情的影响，今年上半年美国经济将会大规模的收缩。那么美国经济是否会就此陷入长期的衰退？我们来看美国之音记者林峰的报道。
今年上半年美国经济衰退呢，几乎已经可以说是成为定局，而未来能不能避免经济陷入长期的衰退，还将取决于疫情的发展以及刺激措施是否得当和及时。
有经济学家把新冠病毒疫情对经济的冲击与1929年的美国大萧条相提并论，因为经济活动正以空前的速度停摆。美国目前50个州当中已有13个州出台了限制民众活动的措施，高达1/3的美国人被要求待在家中。本周一，马里兰州和马萨诸塞州下令关闭非必要的企业，维吉尼亚州宣布州内所有公立和私立学校的关闭状态将持续到本学年结束。彼得森国际经济研究所高级研究员哈夫鲍尔对美国之音表示，各大银行和经济分析师对经济前景的预测十分暗淡。
The outlook is pretty grim because the shutdowns by the state and the federal government, which have pretty well stopped air transport, and a lot of people, you know, really have to stay at home and can't go to work, and restaurants are closed, and hotels don't have any customers.And so forth. All this looks like perhaps reducing employment by a huge number, maybe reducing employment by 15%. Now that's, we haven't seen that kind of effect since the Great Depression.
在近期将利率下调至接近零后，美联储表示将以学生贷款、信用卡贷款和美国政府担保贷款为抵押向小企业放贷，同时购买大型企业债券，并向他们提供最长4年的过桥贷款。美联储也将向地方政府提供资金支持，并购买3750亿美元美国国债和2500亿美元抵押贷款支持债券。上个星期，美联储批准了实质上没有上限的美国国债和抵押支持型债券的购买计划。美联储还推出了3项新的贷款工具，包括2008年全球金融危机时使用过的定期资产抵押债券贷款工具，用来支持消费者和企业信贷市场。此外，美联储还将向投资者提供贷款，以购买信用卡贷款和其他消费者债务支持型债券。美国国会一项规模2万亿美元的一揽子抗疫刺激计划星期二已经接近达成，这导致道琼斯指数大涨11%，创下1933年以来最大的单日涨幅。这项刺激计划的主要部分是向小企业发放贷款，使他们能够保留工作岗位，以及向美国家庭直接发放补贴。但计划中有争议的部分是提供最多5000亿美元资金用于救助受到疫情冲击的大企业。彼得森国际经济研究所的哈夫鲍尔表示，他预计计划最终能够很快获得通过，但他担心刺激计划仍然无法解决就业问题。
That said, that still won't solve the employment problem. What it will do is provide income to people who are laid off, and a lot of people are being laid off.
一名不愿透露姓名的首都华盛顿地区的中餐馆老板对美国之音透露，他并不看好政府接连出台的措施能够立即改善他的处境。他经营的餐馆目前只做外卖生意，因此解雇了大部分服务员。一些分析指出，美国经济将在今年第二季度出现衰退，但也有分析认为美国经济已经步入衰退。摩根大通预计美国第一季度经济总量收缩4%，第二季度收缩14%。德意志银行预计第二季度美国经济收缩13%，美国银行预计第二季度美国经济收缩12%。高盛集团则预测美国第二季度经济收缩高达24%。该机构的分析师们表示，这样的收缩幅度远远超过有记录以来的美国国内生产总值的最大季度降幅。在1958年的经济衰退中，美国经济收缩了10%。高盛表示，预计美国经济将在今年下半年强劲反弹，第三季度环比增长12%，第四季度为增长10%。 但这些预测仍然取决于疫情的严重性和持续的时间。
But the basic problem is a health problem, not an economic problem. And until we get, a better approach to this virus, the economy will continue to suffer.
好的，以上就是美国之音记者林峰的采访报道。
持续蔓延的新冠疫情影响着美国人民生活的方方面面。那么，总统参选人们是如何在这个特殊的时期展开竞选活动的呢？我们一起去看看美国之音记者平章和宁露的报道。
自新冠疫情在美国大规模爆发以来，各个总统参选人均已宣布取消竞选集会、市民大会、登门拜票等竞选活动。但这并不意味着2020年总统大选的竞选工作全面停滞。民主党总统参选人们在特殊时期找到了特殊的办法。前副总统拜登在自己家里搭建了一个临时的演播室，通过网络直播向民众发表讲话。
Good morning. I hope you and your family are doing well in these difficult and anxious times, confusing times.
另一位民主党总统参选人参议员桑德斯则将他最主要的竞选武器，也就是竞选集会，从线下搬到了线上。在长达一个多小时的网络直播中，不仅有桑德斯的演讲，还有表演嘉宾驻唱以及桑德斯支持者背书，在形式上几乎无异于平时在体育馆里举行的那些竞选集会。除此之外，两位民主党总统参选人还在积极地尝试通过网络直播来跟选民互动。在拜登举行的一场网络市民大会上，选民可以通过打电话加入到直播中向拜登提问。而桑德斯除了举办类似的市民大会，还在自己家里举办了一场网络直播的炉边谈话，选民可以在直播评论区留言提问，然后由桑德斯在线解答。
What is this? Okay,
that's fine. This is Florida. I don't know much about.
I don't know anything about virus. Senator, I guess this is another element of this coronavirus issue that we're dealing with. Maybe we'll take one or two more here, and then we'll wrap it up. But one of the questions is.About how you will protect gig workers, independent contractors, and restaurant workers in these. And you're actually talking about groups of people who are, for the most part, non-unionized, or they don't have benefits, they don't have protections.
And they're often not eligible for unemployment as well.
That's right.
网络和社交媒体使得两位民主党总统参选人得以在这个特殊的时期继续自己的竞选。但一些竞选专家认为，将竞选活动从线下搬到线上，效力还是会大打折扣。
Running these virtual events, I think the challenge is getting and keeping people's attention. When you go to a public event with the crowd is part of the experience. When you simply tune into a virtual event with the candidate standing at a podium or sitting on a chair or whatever they're doing, you don't get that feeling of really being there and being part of something.I think that's likely to make it less effective in the traditional sense of getting people excited, getting them engaged, and getting them energized.
基于在新冠疫情之下，总统参选人们除了在线上举行竞选活动之外，别无选择。专家们建议参选人们要更为创新。
I think both of them are going to have to get much more creative in how they're using the virtual campaign space.They can't just be, putting videos out there. They've got to engage actively on Instagram and Snapchat and TikTok and weird places where candidates don't typically go.
在另一边，共和党总统参选人特朗普目前还没有举行任何的线上竞选活动。不过，疫情危机之下，身为总统的他获得了更高的关注度。分析人士认为，和民主党总统参选人相比，特朗普总统目前在竞选中更占优势。
And so to not have the rally is a real hit. What he's got instead is he's got his daily White House, very long sometimes, coronavirus briefing. It went on for nearly 2 hours the other day. And so he's replaced quantity of people with quantity of appearances. And at a time when the country is facing a crisis, he is very much trying to play up his role as a wartime president and to bring the focus on himself.You know, he's got the bully pulpit, president does, as only the president has. So that is a built-in advantage, and it's not going away.
We don't know how people are going to perceive the president's actions as this crisis goes on. But the Democrats have at least one disadvantage, I think, which is it's much harder to generate the kind of enthusiasm and excitement of a campaign when you're limited to doing it from your living room, in front of a fireplace even or something. But it's just really difficult to generate excitement. And excitement's an important part of any campaign.
事实上，在线上举行竞选活动，这在美国早已有之。而这次的新冠疫情只是迫使这种竞选方法发挥更大的功效。不过，专家们认为，即便线上竞选效率提升，它也无法取代传统的竞选方式。毕竟，最能打动人心的还是亲身的接触。美国之音平章宁路华盛顿报道。冠状病毒已经遍布全美50个州，尽管多州已经开始陆续实施更为严厉的居家令，但确诊病例人数仍在呈指数型快速增长。很多医学专家认为，对民众进行广泛的新冠检测才是控制疫情的关键。而现在的美国，由于已经承受重压的医疗系统无法同时接纳所有确诊病例，目前还未满足所有的检测要求。那么谁可以优先得到检测呢？美国疾控中心 CDC 在指南中写道，首先，临床医师要判断并决定这个病人是否具有新冠病毒感染症状且需要被检测。优先权可以给以下几类人群：有新冠病毒感染症状的住院患者、出现症状的老年人、慢性病患者或免疫功能受损的人，以及所有在发症的14天内与新冠疑似或确诊患者有过密切接触，亦或是去过疫情感染的国家或地区的人。疾控中心表示，具体的检测标准还要由各州和地方的卫生部门和临床医生来决定。疫情重灾区纽约州在 CDC 指南的基础上，增加了已经被强制或预防性隔离并出现症状的人，或是进行了其他感染测试但结果均未呈阳性的人，这两类也可以进行新冠检测，而其他情况则由临床医生和当地健康部门共同决定。在华盛顿州，有严重下呼吸道疾病的住院患者，或是从事诸如医疗保健、公共安全行业，又或是在超市、药房、餐馆等地方工作，这些人如果出现新冠感染症状，就需要接受检测。而60岁以上或有潜在健康风险，或是孕妇出现症状并加重，也可进行检测。以上这些类别的人中，如果有医生转诊证明，也可以开车去临时检测站进行检测。而60岁以下有轻症的健康人群以及无症状者无需进行检测。加利福尼亚州的检测标准与该州相似。而在首都华盛顿特区，是否能进行新冠病毒的检测，基本全部由医生决定。医生可直接取样并送交私人实验室检测。政府无法进行广泛的新冠检测，一些私营企业开始帮忙。亚马逊公司将为其总部所在地西雅图的居民提供可以在家进行的新冠测试。另外，苹果公司的 Siri 程序也增加了新冠病毒的相关咨询选项。这些不断更新的各项措施，就是希望能够尽快抑制住美国正在迅速蔓延的新冠疫情。以上就是我们这次节目的内容，下次再见。
尽管德国的新冠病例数量高达4万多，但是死亡率却相当低，这其中有什么值得美国借鉴之处？美国之音记者采访了一位德国医生，他提出了他的建议，来看报道。
Dr. Tao, thank you so much for doing this interview with us. I want to start with Germany. As you know, there are also a lot of cases in Germany, but we noticed that the fatality rate is rather low. Why do you think that's the case?
As of today, we are close to 44,000 confirmed cases, and we have 239 people that have perished. That is a case fatality of 0.5%. Italy, in contrast, has a death rate that is close to 10%. That is 20 times the German rate, right?
Right.
Mostly, it has been argued that this is because Italy has a lot of old people, and oftentimes three generations live in the same house, so it gets spread quickly among the families. Then another argument has been that the air pollution levels in northern Italy are among the highest in Europe. And also it has been argued that very sick patients are the only ones that were actually tested and so on, right? So in my view, though, the most important reason for this huge discrepancy between Italy and Germany is that the Italian healthcare system collapsed very early into the crisis. So another reason for why our death rate is still so low is that we tested early, and we tested a much broader population.
We know that in the United States, the situation is rather bad, especially in New York City and some other places. Do you think the United States will become the next Italy?
I think if you keep committing the same mistakes, the answer clearly is yes. One thing that we must learn quickly from Italy, for example, was that hospitals themselves are breeding grounds for the virus. You have to try to decentralize care and treat as many people with mobile units that you can, and also try to treat people in their homes while that is still possible. The Italian health system has collapsed because it was simply overwhelmed with new cases. As I said before, the death rate, it skyrockets when the system is overrun and when the system collapses. So you must do everything in the US now to prevent your healthcare system from collapsing. That is very important.
I think the New York City is facing the situation that the medical system might be overrun by the patients. So what do you think the United States can learn from other countries such as China, South Korea, and Germany, and also Italy, right? Both lessons, I mean, the mistakes and best practices.
I really can't see what your strategy at the moment is. It just seems very patchy and inconsistent to me at the moment. So we know that it has been said that the cure cannot be worse than the problem, right? I'm afraid that with this coronavirus, this cure has to be. The problem is worse than it looks like. It's a wolf in a sheepskin, I would say. My suggestion would be you have to pull the emergency brake. Your train is racing towards a disaster. And I think for at least 2 to 3 weeks, normal life and activity has to come to a grinding halt in America in order to stop the virus from spreading, right? And then again, you need to test. So much more testing needs to be done. You cannot fight an invisible enemy. If you are running low on testing kits, which I have read and heard, I would suggest that you do poll testing. So what I mean by that is, if you would try to find representative populations and then just go out and poll test them, you would probably get a much more accurate picture of where you stand in this epidemic. Once you have tested these people positive, the most important issue is that you do contact tracing. That is, that you have to find those people and find all the people that have been in contact with them and then isolate them.
Dr. Tao, thank you so much for your time and for your advice.
好的，以上就是今天美国观察的全部内容，感谢您的收看，我们下次节目再见。 友们，大家好，今天是3月28号，星期六，欢迎收看《美国观察》。美国总统特朗普与中国国家主席习近平星期四晚间通了电话，商讨如何应对新冠疫情，并说美中双方要紧密合作。我们来看美国之音白宫记者黄耀毅的报道。
美国在3月26号星期四首度超越中国，成为世界上新型冠状病毒确诊人数最多国家。截至3月27号星期五的中午为止呢，美国境内已经有超过9万起的确诊人数，那么呢，死亡人数则是超过了1300人。那么特朗普总统在星期四的上午参加了这个 G20 工业国的视讯会议之后，他就在晚上打电话给这个中国国家主席习近平，两个人进行了关于新型冠状病毒的电话讨论。那么之后特朗普总统呢就在推特上发文，在推特上当中呢，他停止使用中国病毒这个词，而是回到使用冠状病毒。在推文当中，特朗普总统说，刚刚结束与中国国家主席习近平的愉快谈话，我们详细讨论了正在肆虐全球的新冠病毒，中国已经经历了许多，并且对这个病毒有深刻了解，我们正在紧密合作，高度的敬意。此外呢，白宫也在星期五的上午针对这一次的特席通话发出了声明，声明当中说，特朗普总统昨晚与中国国家主席习近平通了电话，两位领导人在当天稍早都参加了20工业国的视讯会议，在会上都重申了合作保护生命与生计的承诺，两位领导人同意合作挫败新冠病毒疫情，并且恢复全球的健康以及繁荣。那么根据中国外交部发表的这个通话记录则是显示说呢，他说中国国家主席习近平强调，新冠肺炎疫情发生以来，中国方面是本着公开透明负责任的态度，及时向世界卫生组织以及包括美国在内的所有国家通报疫情的消息，包括在第一时间发布病毒基因序列等等的信息。那我们知道，在这个新冠疫情刚刚开始的时候，其实在美国的很多的记者就询问特朗普总统说，中方是否有及时提供讯息。那么呢，在1月份跟2月份的时候，特朗普总统还是表示说，中国方面有向美国提供讯息，并且还甚至称赞中国在打击疫情上的努力做得很出色，并且还说中国的资讯很透明。不过呢，我们看到在3月中之后，美国本身本土的这个病例越来越增加之后呢，特朗普总统在白宫的新闻简报会上也曾经说过，他说其实他是希望在当初中国能够尽快的把疫情给通报给美国。那么呢，就在跟习近平通话之前呢，其实特朗普总统在星期四的时候呢签署了4项的法案，那么其中的一项法案呢就是台北法案。那这个法案呢是全称是2019年台湾盟邦国际保障与强化倡议法。那么这个法呢在美国国会当中是获得了民主共和两党跨党派的支持。那根据这项法案规定呢，这个法案生效的1年之内以及法案公布之后的前5年，美国国务院必须要向国会报告美国政府在强化台湾以及印太区域伙伴的外交关系上采取了哪些步骤。那么对于那些损害台湾安全以及繁荣的国家，美国将会改变与其交往的方式。此外呢，法案还敦促美国贸易代表办公室 USTR 应该要向跟国会协商，来寻求机会进一步增强美台双边经贸的关系。那么在国际参与的部分呢，美国将会在适当的情况之下支持台湾成为所有不以主权国家为参与资格的国际组织会员，并且呢在其他的适当组织当中取得观察员的身份。那我们也知道，在这次的新型冠状病毒的疫情爆发以来呢，台湾一直努力争取希望能够获得世界卫生组织在跟他们取得更进一步的联系。那么台湾呢当时也说了，连美国的国务院发言人奥特加斯也曾经在推特上指出说呢，12月31号其实正是台湾通报世界卫生组织的这个关于新冠病情的日子，所以呢也点出了美国方面对于台湾在这个国际组织上以及对抗疫情上面所做努力，美国方面也已经获得了重视。以上的是美国之音白宫记者黄耀毅在白宫前面的报道。
美国国防部官员警告说，这次的疫情可能长达90天，一直延续到7月。来看报道。
从在食品援助机构包装不易腐败的食物，到在检测点测试和筛选病患， 成千上万的国民警卫队正在尽力帮助危机中的国家，而更多的援助已经在路上了。
Governors and adjutant generals are telling me that they're planning on bringing more in the near term in the hundreds and thousands.
海军医疗船仁慈号正在驶往洛杉矶，船上的医护人员为接收病人做好了准备。随着新冠病毒患者持续增加，这艘船将从洛杉矶的医院接纳多达1000名非新冠病毒患者，让当地有足够的病床和医护人员对抗疫情。军方很快派遣仁慈号的姐妹船安慰号以及另外两个陆军医院单位前往纽约，那里是美国疫情最严重的地区之一。
Right now what we're looking at is about 140,000 casescoming into the hospitals. The hospital capacity is 53,000 beds. That's a problem.
美国陆军正在把空荡荡的纽约热点街区的酒店房间善加利用，其中一些改造成为临时的医院病房。陆军还将派遣一个医院单位前往华盛顿州遭到严重打击的西雅图。卫生组织警告说，美国在逐渐成为2019冠状病毒病的下一个爆发重点。与此同时，国防部长艾斯珀正在为一场长期战斗做准备。
I think we need to plan for this to be a few months long at least, and we're taking all precautionary measures to do that, to be in it for the long haul.
不过，军方在为这一场可能延续到7月的新冠病毒战斗做准备之际，他们的统帅美国总统特朗普本星期说，他希望美国在复活节之前开放，也就是距离当前不到3个星期。美国之音记者巴布华盛顿报道。
专家预测，路易斯安那州的新奥尔良市可能成为下一个疫情爆发的中心。来看报道。
路易斯安那州州长约翰·贝尔·爱德华兹星期三表示，如果预测正确的话，新奥尔良的医院一周之后将面临艰难的病患安置问题。
When we're pushing out the date in Region 1 down around New Orleans, where we think we might exceed our capacity to deliver health care to COVID-19 patients, it would be in the April 4th or 5th timeframe.
新奥尔良是路易斯安那州最大的城市，该州已成为美国新冠病例第三高的州，仅次于纽约和华盛顿州。但是新奥尔良目前的感染增长率是世界上最高的，许多人想知道它为什么在这里如此迅速的传播。
We are in the midst of this.
直到一月份都在担任路易斯安那州卫生局长的瑞贝卡·吉伊博士说，那是因为狂欢节。
What we need to focus on now is the fact that we are several weeks post Mardi Gras and we are starting to see that spike. And what the governor has indicated is that we are on a path to look like Italy, and we need to prepare for that. Certainly, the measures that we've put in are very stringent. The governor and the mayor have been very clear about stay home to save lives.That being said, we're not going to see the impacts of those measures for a week to 2 weeks because that's how long the virus takes to create symptoms.
迄今为止，路易斯安那州确诊病例中约有70%都在新奥尔良。吉伊博士现在是路易斯安那州立大学医疗服务部门的负责人。他指出，狂欢节适逢2月25日，当时新冠病毒已经在美国传播，但那是在美国疾控中心和国家首脑向公众发出警报之前。据美国贝勒国家热带医学院院长说，新奥尔良很可能成为南部多米诺骨牌中的头一枚，将引发该地区其他都市区出现连锁反应。对于南部的休斯顿来说，这也是一个严重的问题。休斯顿是美国第四大城市，也是石油工业的主要中心。在飓风卡特丽娜和哈维之后，新奥尔良居民涌入休斯顿，使休斯顿和新奥尔良这两个有千丝万缕历史关联的城市增加了更多新的联系。美国之音电视新闻报道。
尽管中国各地陆续复工，新冠肺炎的疫情仍在发展。这场疫情对您的家人、生活和工作计划带来什么样的冲击和影响？您所在的社区和城市目前疫情如何？欢迎您通过电邮将您录制的音频、视频或文字图片跟我们分享。我们的电邮是 mystory@voanews.com， mystory@voanews.com。也欢迎您留下您的联系方式，我们的记者会尽快与您联系。
析师们普遍预测，受到新冠病毒疫情的影响，今年上半年美国经济将会大规模的收缩。那么美国经济是否会就此陷入长期的衰退？我们来看美国之音记者林峰的报道。
今年上半年美国经济衰退呢，几乎已经可以说是成为定局，而未来能不能避免经济陷入长期的衰退，还将取决于疫情的发展以及刺激措施是否得当和及时。
有经济学家把新冠病毒疫情对经济的冲击与1929年的美国大萧条相提并论，因为经济活动正以空前的速度停摆。美国目前50个州当中已有13个州出台了限制民众活动的措施，高达1/3的美国人被要求待在家中。本周一，马里兰州和马萨诸塞州下令关闭非必要的企业，维吉尼亚州宣布州内所有公立和私立学校的关闭状态将持续到本学年结束。彼得森国际经济研究所高级研究员哈夫鲍尔对美国之音表示，各大银行和经济分析师对经济前景的预测十分暗淡。
The outlook is pretty grim because the shutdowns by the state and the federal government, which have pretty well stopped air transport, and a lot of people, you know, really have to stay at home and can't go to work, and restaurants are closed, and hotels don't have any customers.And so forth. All this looks like perhaps reducing employment by a huge number, maybe reducing employment by 15%. Now that's, we haven't seen that kind of effect since the Great Depression.
在近期将利率下调至接近零后，美联储表示将以学生贷款、信用卡贷款和美国政府担保贷款为抵押向小企业放贷，同时购买大型企业债券，并向他们提供最长4年的过桥贷款。美联储也将向地方政府提供资金支持，并购买3750亿美元美国国债和2500亿美元抵押贷款支持债券。上个星期，美联储批准了实质上没有上限的美国国债和抵押支持型债券的购买计划。美联储还推出了3项新的贷款工具，包括2008年全球金融危机时使用过的定期资产抵押债券贷款工具，用来支持消费者和企业信贷市场。此外，美联储还将向投资者提供贷款，以购买信用卡贷款和其他消费者债务支持型债券。美国国会一项规模2万亿美元的一揽子抗疫刺激计划星期二已经接近达成，这导致道琼斯指数大涨11%，创下1933年以来最大的单日涨幅。这项刺激计划的主要部分是向小企业发放贷款，使他们能够保留工作岗位，以及向美国家庭直接发放补贴。但计划中有争议的部分是提供最多5000亿美元资金用于救助受到疫情冲击的大企业。彼得森国际经济研究所的哈夫鲍尔表示，他预计计划最终能够很快获得通过，但他担心刺激计划仍然无法解决就业问题。
That said, that still won't solve the employment problem. What it will do is provideincome to people who are laid off, and a lot of people are being laid off.
一名不愿透露姓名的首都华盛顿地区的中餐馆老板对美国之音透露，他并不看好政府接连出台的措施能够立即改善他的处境。他经营的餐馆目前只做外卖生意，因此解雇了大部分服务员。一些分析指出，美国经济将在今年第二季度出现衰退，但也有分析认为美国经济已经步入衰退。摩根大通预计美国第一季度经济总量收缩4%，第二季度收缩14%。德意志银行预计第二季度美国经济收缩13%，美国银行预计第二季度美国经济收缩12%。高盛集团则预测美国第二季度经济收缩高达24%。该机构的分析师们表示，这样的收缩幅度远远超过有记录以来的美国国内生产总值的最大季度降幅。在1958年的经济衰退中，美国经济收缩了10%。高盛表示，预计美国经济将在今年下半年强劲反弹，第三季度环比增长12%，第四季度为增长10%。 但这些预测仍然取决于疫情的严重性和持续的时间。
But the basic problem is a health problem, not an economic problem. And until we get, a better approach to this virus, the economy will continue to suffer.
好的，以上就是美国之音记者林峰的采访报道。
持续蔓延的新冠疫情影响着美国人民生活的方方面面。那么总统参选人们是如何在这个特殊的时期展开竞选活动的呢？我们一起去看看美国之音记者平章和明璐的报道。
自新冠疫情在美国大规模爆发以来，各个总统参选人均已宣布取消竞选集会、市民大会、登门拜票等竞选活动。但这并不意味着2020年总统大选的竞选工作全面停滞。民主党总统参选人们在特殊时期找到了特殊的办法。前副总统拜登在自己家里搭建了一个临时的演播室，通过网络直播向民众发表讲话。
Good morning. I hope you and your family are doing well in these difficult and anxious times, confusing times.
另一位民主党总统参选人参议员桑德斯则将他最主要的竞选武器，也就是竞选集会，从线下搬到了线上。在长达一个多小时的网络直播中，不仅有桑德斯的演讲，还有表演嘉宾驻唱以及桑德斯支持者背书，在形式上几乎无异于平时在体育馆里举行的那些竞选集会。除此之外，两位民主党总统参选人还在积极地尝试通过网络直播来跟选民互动。在拜登举行的一场网络市民大会上，选民可以通过打电话加入到直播中向拜登提问。而桑德斯除了举办类似的市民大会，还在自己家里举办了一场网络直播的炉边谈话，选民可以在直播评论区留言提问，然后由桑德斯在线解答。
What is this? Okay,
I
don't know anything about virus. Senator, I guess this is another element of this coronavirus issue that we're dealing with. They will take one or two more here, and then we'll wrap it up. But one of the questions is.About how you will protect gig workers, independent contractors, and restaurant workers in these. And you're actually talking about groups of people who are for the most part, non-unionized, or they don't have benefits, they don't have protections,
and they're often not eligible for unemployment as well.
That's right.
网络和社交媒体使得两位民主党总统参选人得以在这个特殊的时期继续自己的竞选。但一些竞选专家认为，将竞选活动从线下搬到线上，效力还是会大打折扣。
Running these virtual events, I think the challenge is getting and keeping people's attention. When you go to a public event with the crowd is part of the experience. When you simply tune into a virtual event with the candidate standing at a podium or sitting on a chair or whatever they're doing, you don't get that feeling of really being there and being part of something.I think that's likely to make it less effective in the traditional sense of getting people excited, getting them engaged, and getting them energized.
基于在新冠疫情之下，总统参选人们除了在线上举行竞选活动之外，别无选择。专家们建议参选人们要更为创新。
I think both of them are going to have to get much more creative in how they're using the virtual campaign space.They can't just be, putting videos out there. They've got to engage actively on Instagram and Snapchat and TikTok and weird places where candidates don't typically go.
在另一边，共和党总统参选人特朗普目前还没有举行任何的线上竞选活动。不过，疫情危机之下，身为总统的他获得了更高的关注度。分析人士认为，和民主党总统参选人相比，特朗普总统目前在竞选中更占优势。
And so to not have the rally is a real hit. What he's got instead is he's got his daily White House, very long sometimes, coronavirus briefing. It went on for nearly 2 hours the other day. And so he's replaced quantity of people with quantity of appearances. And at a time when the country is facing a crisis, he is very much trying to play up his role as a wartime president and to bring the focus on himself.You know, he's got the bully pulpit, president does, as only the president has. So that is a built-in advantage, and it's not going away.
We don't know how people are going to perceive the president's actions as this crisis goes on. But the Democrats have at least one disadvantage, I think, which is it's much harder to generate the kind of enthusiasm and excitement of a campaign when you're limited to doing it from your living room, in front of a fireplace even or something. But it's just really difficult to generate excitement. And excitement's an important part of any campaign.
事实上，在线上举行竞选活动，这在美国早已有之。而这次的新冠疫情只是迫使这种竞选方法发挥更大的功效。不过，专家们认为，即便线上竞选效率提升，它也无法取代传统的竞选方式。毕竟，最能打动人心的还是亲身的接触。美国之音平章宁路华盛顿报道。冠状病毒已经遍布全美50个州，尽管多州已经开始陆续实施更为严厉的居家令，但确诊病例人数仍在呈指数型快速增长。很多医学专家认为，对民众进行广泛的新冠检测才是控制疫情的关键。而现在的美国，由于已经承受重压的医疗系统无法同时接纳所有确诊病例，目前还未满足所有的检测要求。那么谁可以优先得到检测呢？美国疾控中心 CDC 在指南中写道，首先，临床医师要判断并决定这个病人是否具有新冠病毒感染症状且需要被检测。优先权可以给以下几类人群：有新冠病毒感染症状的住院患者，出现症状的老年人，慢性病患者或免疫功能受损的人，以及所有在发症的14天内与新冠疑似或确诊患者有过密切接触，亦或是去过疫情感染的国家或地区的人。当然，疾控中心表示，具体的检测标准还要由各州和地方的卫生部门和临床医生来决定。疫情重灾区纽约州在 CDC 指南的基础上，增加了已经被强制或预防性隔离并出现症状的人，或是进行了其他感染测试但结果均未呈阳性的人，这两类也可以进行新冠检测。而其他情况则由临床医生和当地健康部门共同决定。在华盛顿州，有严重下呼吸道疾病的住院患者，或是从事诸如医疗保健、公共安全行业，又或是在超市、药房、餐馆等地方工作，这些人如果出现新冠感染症状，就需要接受检测。而60岁以上或有潜在健康风险，或是孕妇出现症状并加重，也可进行检测。以上这些类别的人中，如果有医生转诊证明，也可以开车去临时检测站进行检测。而60岁以下有轻症的健康人群以及无症状者无需进行检测。加利福尼亚州的检测标准与该州相似。而在首都华盛顿特区，是否能进行新冠病毒的检测，基本全部由医生决定。医生可直接取样并送交私人实验室检测。政府无法进行广泛的新冠检测，一些私营企业开始帮忙。亚马逊公司将为其总部所在地西雅图的居民提供可以在家进行的新冠测试。另外，苹果公司的 Siri 程序也增加了新冠病毒的相关咨询选项。这些不断更新的各项措施，就是希望能够尽快抑制住美国正在迅速蔓延的新冠疫情。以上就是我们这次节目的内容，下次再见。
尽管德国的新冠病例数量高达4万多，但是死亡率却相当低。这其中有什么值得美国借鉴之处？美国之音记者采访了一位德国医生，他提出了他的建议。来看报道。
Dr. Tao, thank you so much for doing this interview with us. I want to start with Germany. As you know, there are also a lot of cases in Germany, but we noticed that the fatality rate is rather low. Why do you think that's the case?
As of today, we are close to 44,000 confirmed cases, and we have 239 people that have perished. That is a case fatality of 0.5%. Italy, in contrast, has a death rate that is close to 10%. That is 20 times the German rate, right?
Right.
Mostly, it has been argued that this is because Italy has a lot of old people, and oftentimes three generations live in the same house, so it gets spread quickly among the families. Then another argument has been that the air pollution levels in northern Italy are among the highest in Europe. And also it has been argued that very sick patients are the only ones that were actually tested and so on, right? So in my view, though, the most important reason for this huge discrepancy between Italy and Germany is that the Italian healthcare system collapsed very early into the crisis. So another reason for why our death rate is still so low is that we tested early, and we tested a much broader population.
We know that in the United States, the situation is rather bad, especially in New York City and some other places. Do you think the United States will become the next Italy?
I think if you keep committing the same mistakes, the answer clearly is yes. One thing that we must learn quickly from Italy, for example, was that hospitals themselves are breeding grounds for the virus. You have to try to decentralize care and treat as many people with mobile units that you can, and also try to treat people in their homes while that is still possible. The Italian health system has collapsed because it was simply overwhelmed with new cases. As I said before, the death rate, it skyrockets when the system is overrun and when the system collapses. So you must do everything in the US now to prevent your healthcare system from collapsing. That is very important.
I think the New York City is facing the situation that the medical system might be overrun by the patients. So what do you think the United States can learn from other countries such as China, South Korea, and Germany, and also Italy, right? Both lessons, I mean, the mistakes and best practices.
I really can't see what your strategy at the moment is. It just seems very patchy and inconsistent to me at the moment. So we know that it has been said that the cure cannot be worse than the problem, right? I'm afraid that with this coronavirus, this cure has to be. The problem is worse than it looks like. It's a wolf in a sheepskin, I would say. My suggestion would be you have to pull the emergency brake. Your train is racing towards a disaster, and I think for at least 2 to 3 weeks, normal life and activity has to come to a grinding halt in America in order to stop the virus from spreading, right? And then again, you need to test. So much more testing needs to be done. You cannot fight an invisible enemy. If you are running low on testing kits, which I have read and heard, I would suggest that you do poll testing. So what I mean by that is if you would try to find representative populations and then just go out and poll test them, you would probably get a much more accurate picture of where you stand in this epidemic. Once you have tested these people positive, the most important issue is that you do contact tracing. That is, that you have to find those people and find all the people that have been in contact with them and then isolate them.
Dr. Tao, thank you so much for your time and for your advice.
好的，以上就是今天美国观察的全部内容。感谢您的收看，我们下次节目再见。